Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
U2's facing backlash online because the band shared statements on social media in support of Gaza on Sunday. Some critics, though, say it's too little too late, describing the statements from all of the band members as performative. Is it fair, though? 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Arts journalist Louise Bruton is with me here on the line today. Louise, do you think the criticism's justified?
I do. I really do, especially when Bono and the rest of the band's support has come out in the form of a social media post, an Instagram post, when there's been so many artists, so many ordinary people, so many people just taking to the streets, so many people boycotting products that are affiliated with Israel or are investing in Israel. People have been speaking out for years about this. People have been taking risks with their careers. I think of Kneecap, who have were charged with terrorism charges in their support of the people of Palestine. I think of Sally Rooney, who has said that she will always be pro-Palestine, even if that means she could face terrorism charges. There are people who have been taking a lot of risks who may not have the financial backing to take them through the courts or to take them up against bigger powers, bigger companies. Yet Bono and the band, who are arguably maybe the richest people, some of the richest people in Ireland, who have previously spoken out against other human rights atrocities, and now all they have to offer is an Instagram post. Whereas the likes of Bob Geldof, who had been reasonably quiet up until recently, has been going on a media parade almost, very verbally, very verbosely, very eloquently describing the horrors that he's seen. While that also might be too late, he is taking to action. He is going out to the front lines. He's speaking to journalists. He is making sure that his anger is palpable. Whereas with Bono, The Edge, Adam Clayton, and the other one, Larry Mullins,
yeah,
it just doesn't feel like enough. It just feels like it's the getting the statement out just time.
Well, and to be fair to them, look, and I looked at their statements, and they were, you know, unequivocal in their support for Gaza, and you know, fairly robust, I thought, in their description of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, even wasn't it The Edge described what's happening in the region as ethnic cleansing? I think is the description that he used. Is there an expectation on the likes of you two to
In fairness to The Edge, his statement was definitely the strongest of the four, and you can tell that you can tell which side that his heart is with. But the thing is, in Bono's post, he said that he's done his best to stay in the Middle East politics, which just feels rich for a man who has cozied up to a lot of the biggest world leaders over the years, not just at formal events. There's a lot of casual interactions that he has with world leaders. And it's only last year that he accepted the Medal of Freedom from the then President Biden. So, you know, his...
Well, that was in relation to, yeah, as a global pop star and the work that he has done through, wasn't it the One campaign that he'd set up in relation to advocating around AIDS and poverty. But what do you think they should have done? Like, what should you two have done since October 2023, if this isn't enough, if this criticism is fair today?
They have the biggest platform and they have the ability to go out in a more public-facing opportunity rather than an Instagram post, because, you know, let's face it, how many people who are on Instagram aren't already convinced of what they should be doing? There's a wider world population that needs to be challenged, and he has the platform to do it. I'm focused more on Bono than the rest of the band members, but Bono is the one who is out leading the charge with a lot of the more human rights causes that he supports, and he's for years he's done this, and it just feels like it has been an act of silence on his part up until recently. And I think that he has the ability to challenge people with greater power, greater money, which is what a lot of this comes down to. It seems to be a money issue. It's why a lot of big powerful people are remaining silent up until this point. And there is the novelist Omar Al-Akkad, who has the book out recently, it's about the Western hypocrisy over Gaza. The title of the book is "One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This," which is such a beautiful phrase, a beautiful notion, that it's saying what you need to say, just so if anybody checks the files, you're on record as saying the right thing at the right time.
Stay with us, Louise, for a few moments, if you can. I've singer Mary Coughlin is with me on the line as well. Do you think this criticism's fair, Mary?
I think it's a very, very weak, very, very measured statement, especially from Bono. As Louise said there, the Edge was slightly more direct in his criticism of Israeli politics and Netanyahu. Bono was kind of taking the humanitarian line. I begged Bob Geldof last year in Birmingham. We were all doing a festival together, and I spoke to Pete Burkett at length and wondered why that they hadn't gotten on board or why Bob hadn't. Yes, he has now, and he's all over it, as you say.
Is there an expectation, though, Mary, on singers and actors and celebrities?
But we do have a platform. And in November 2023, Akilah, Dee Armstrong, and a lot of people came down to Galway. We did a big gig in Galway. We did one in the Olympia Theatre in Dublin, in the Three Olympia. Everybody came out, and we had the feeling, you know, that this is going to be over by Christmas. That was November 2023. Bono has, and it's been explained in many journals all over the world, he has a lot of business interests in Israel. He has a lot of attachments to Israeli banks. It's a money thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know there was in relation to an app that was used back during, one of the Innocence Experience Tour back in 2014.
Yeah, but that's still there.
You know, to be fair,
I think that's now become Dropbox. I'm not sure. No, there's more than that. And people always look after their money. That's what I thought. And I did an awful lot of research on it, and okay. I reposted things. The Phoenix magazine did a very in-depth dive into U2, into Bono and some of U2's financial things. And
it was most commonly known in relation to an app that was used then that might have been
done something
developed.
He could have done something a lot sooner.
Is it
and
fact,
it would have been more effective?
Is it the fact,
right,
Mary?
Now,
is it the fact? Sorry, Mary. Yeah. Is it the fact that I suppose Bono has been so robust and outspoken in his views about other conflicts previously? Is that why there was such an expectation for him to say something in relation to Gaza before now?
Yeah, because he seemed, as Louise said, to have the ear of a lot of world leaders. He certainly had the and this started back when he did get the medal. There was an expectation that he might say something to Biden about Gaza and about the situation. I mean, it's nothing short of the word I was going to say, a Holocaust. This is in front of our eyes, on every phone, in everybody's pocket, on every television, on every newspaper, on every radio station, all over the world. You know, this is happening in front of our eyes and we're doing nothing about it. I don't know why. We do all we can, which is raise money, give it to the Red Crescent, give it to medicine. I did a gig in Holt about a month ago, and I drove a woman back to Bray. She's been living and working, first in Ethiopia. She's a doctor, around the same age as myself. And she operated to amputate a baby's limbs while a nurse was holding the baby, without anaesthetic.
Yeah.
I listened to her for 90 minutes in my car on the way home. And then, you know, like, I couldn't sleep. I literally couldn't sleep that night.
And thinking about it.
To an extent, we do what we can. We do the gigs. We raise the money. We make sure it gets to the right people, like MSF and the Red Crescent. We give it to Doctors Without Borders. We give it to, you know, we're not giving it to dodgy, you know, charities. And we've been doing this for 20 years. The Palestine, Friends of Palestine was set up, or was not Friends of Palestine, but doing gigs in going back to the days of
there is an onus in your mind on celebrities and, you know, and the most high profile people in the country to share their views. Jackie Conboy's with us too, Mary. Jackie's the co-founder of the Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland. Look, you've heard Louise and Mary share their views, Jackie. Perhaps too little, too late. Just, is the timing important, or does it matter that, look, they've come out and said something now? I mean, they've released a fairly lengthy statement, I suppose, in relation to the four of them.
Yeah, and in fairness, it was from all four members, and I was reading through their individual statements and that, and they're saying exactly what most people around the world are thinking. Exactly what, and we all know, like, that this is horrendous what's happening. But at least, look, it's starting the conversation again, and that, and I think we have to welcome the fact that at least they've come out and said something. And the fact that you're even talking about it, and I'm sure there'll be radio stations all over the world back talking about this again. Now, is it late? You know, they could have done this sooner and that, but still, I have to look upon this as being a positive thing, that they've actually come out and you know, made those statements. And it's the four members, and I know that Bono has kind of written a fairly lengthy statement there compared to the rest of the band.
It's about 10 posts when I was looking at it, you know, late last night or and earlier this morning, you know, in relation to the... Look, I've shared it actually. It's on our social media. You can see it on my own Instagram there as well, if people want to have a look at the statement in full. But you know, there's a part of me that thinks there's now a pressure, maybe not a pressure, maybe an onus on singers, on performers. You know, you really have to be an activist as well now, don't you? You've got to be a lobbyist. You're sort of a politician.
It's very hard to avoid it, you know, for artists to avoid this. That, and they are pressured from all sides to come out and say stuff. And look, any time that Bono comes out and says something, or that, he's blasted from every side. You know, God love it. Like, when you read back over different things that he has come out and said, and see the anti Bono or anti U2 thing that, you know, that comes out, and people, I won't say the far left or the far right or whatever.
No, I see it here. I see it here, Jackie, all the time. Every time we talk about U2 or Bono, it's primarily it's negative response that it antagonizes from people. Yeah. There's no question about that.
I mean, the greatest band in the world, and the most, you know, like, when you look at what U2 have done, they put Ireland on the map all around the world. And so, you know, you have to kind of say, look, this is a positive step for them to come out and say that. And the fact that Bono, I know he mightn't be a Trump lover, and he said he was going to drive the car over a cliff if Trump got elected, but he didn't. He still has the car and that. But at least, you know, he has a way in there, and he can talk to the people that matter, as like Mary was saying there, you know, that he has this ability to be able to walk in to any government or president and actually sit down and talk to them. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people all around the world looking at this statement and taking note of it. And it's going to create an awful amount, you know, of talk and articles and discussions, you know, be it on radio stations, papers, whatever, all around the world. So it is a positive step.
Jess Spencer is joining us, Jackie. Jess is a presenter with Spin, and Jess is here with me today as well. Jess, are many people 18, 19, 20, 21, many people care what Bono thinks about this, about what's happening in Gaza?
I don't think anyone of that age is really going to be looking at this going, oh God, you two are after making a statement, we must look into this. Like, I think for people who have grown up as U2 fans, maybe people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, they're going to be looking at this statement, and like Jackie was saying, it's a conversation starter. Like, sometimes you don't know how to talk about the difficult subjects with someone, so you might not want to turn around to your mum and go, oh, have you seen what's going on in Gaza? But if you say to someone, oh, did you see what U2 said about Gaza? It gives you a more casual way of bringing it up. But like, when you're looking at 20-year-olds, I think kneecap have really taught so many people about what's going on in Gaza. Mm. They're really standing up for it. They're the ones that the younger people are going to be looking at. And you can really see how kneecap have put themselves on the line here. Whereas U2 now, they could have been talking about this for years. And their silence was a choice the last couple of years. You can't not have an opinion on Gaza at this point.
But you can have an opinion and not express it publicly. Like, I suppose that's the question. Do you have to be seen to express your opinion publicly?
Well, at this point, you two are such a political band that I think everyone expects them to be saying something. So if you've had a career where you're talking about, like, what's going on, like, even in the statement Bono was saying about what's going on in Ethiopia and Sudan, and he is such a political person, that in order to stay silent on one massive catastrophe that's happening that everyone is talking about, everyone is aware of, like, not as many people are going to be as aware of what's going on in Ethiopia, but he's here staying silent on what's going on in Gaza. That does look like a decision, and it does look like saying something.
Charlie McGettigan is with us today as well. Do you agree with that, Charlie?
Well, my opinion about this whole business is what I find incredible about the situation in Gaza. Literally, the Israeli population are living less than 100 miles away from Gaza City. And I often wonder, what did the actual Israeli people, surely the Israeli people as a group cannot be condoning what was going on 60, 70, 80 miles up the road. It's like as if there was something like this happening in Kerry, and we just life goes on. Oh, it's only happening in Kerry. It's not to do with us. What I feel then is, in the case of U2's stance on it, they have a huge worldwide population of fans, and obviously then they would have equally a big number of fans in Israel itself. And if Bono's statement and the Edge and the rest of the band provokes something within the Israeli people who would be fans of U2, you know, who would maybe take a stance, go out and march against Netanyahu's regime, and from that point of view, in the case of U2, just, I think we're nitpicking a little bit. I think it's a situation of better late than never. You know, anything that, I mean, the fact that we're all sitting here talking about this, it has provoked a certain amount of conversation.
And I suppose it would probably, you know, maybe has frustrated people, and maybe to Mary and Louise's point a little earlier as well, like, perhaps because the band has been so well known for releasing politicised songs for years, since the 80s. You know, the War album, Sunday Bloody Sunday, like... Is that why there's been such an expectation on Bono and Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen and The Edge to say something louder, to shout louder at an earlier time?
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier on, it's better late than never. I'm sure Bono and the band never would have, you know, condoned what's happening in Gaza. You know, we're sitting here every night looking at this on the television. It's frightening and disturbing. That to think that 60, 70, 80 miles up the road, life goes on as if there's nothing happening. You know, I think to take it to a very simplistic level, there are two sides to this, as Bono says in his statement. There's Hamas, who committed the dreadful atrocity on October 23. And, you know, now the unbelievably over-the-top attacks on Gaza as a retribution for this. I think, you know, on a very simplistic level, the situation that Hamas give back the hostages, Netanyahu stopped the bombardment and allows food and medicine into Gaza as much as possible, in there, get it into them. They need this. They need this food, and they need medicines, etc. And, you know, medical people. You know, and, you know, that's a very simplistic way of looking at it. But I think that a ceasefire from Netanyahu and a return of the hostages by Hamas. And let's all sit around the table. Now, that's a very simplistic way of looking at it. I know that. But that's basically what needs to happen, you know?
Maybe just on a final point, Louise, today, and perhaps for any other, you know, Irish artists with high profiles, actors, actresses, singers, writers that are tuned into us here today on Lunchtime Live, is this a warning that silence just doesn't cut it anymore in relation to Gaza?
For ordinary people, it is not too late to show your support for Gaza. This is absolutely not the case, because there's a lot of ways to get involved for ordinary people to know where their money is going, to get take to the streets to protest for the rights of the people of Palestine. It is not too late for ordinary people to get involved. It is not too late for artists to get involved. Mary, I believe, is a member of the Irish Artists for Palestine group, which is very, very active. The way that they demonstrate how to lead in activism and advocate for people who need immediate help has been exemplary. It has been incredible. These are great people to turn to. It's not too late, but in the case of, I think, with, say, the likes of Bono, and these people are not just artists anymore. These are businessmen. And I think maybe with the statement that the UTO have made, it is for other wealthy people to come and follow, which is it's an interesting
business
time
owners,
for the wealthy.
Business owners across the country as well. Some of the texts on this today, like Kevin has got in touch. He says, you two are musicians. They're not politicians. And no matter what they say or don't say, it's not going to make a difference in relation to Gaza. Country leaders need to do more, not Bono and The Edge. And I think the criticism isn't warranted at all. Another listener tells me, I'd say Bono has done more good and has helped more causes than a lot of us put together. And this texter says, you two have built their identity on being outspoken about conflicts and supporting the sides which are often being downtrodden. They've dropped the ball here and this will affect their legacy, says this listener. Another texter tells me, absolutely, I think you two are completely late to the game in relation to this and just contributing now that it's super safe to do so. It's too late. They could have made a difference to international public discourse ages ago. And a final text on this for the moment, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Totally disagree, Andrea, with your guests. People are entitled to do what they wish and say about anything, whether they're in the public view or not. I think it's absolutely nonsense. Singer-songwriter Charlie McGettigan, Jess Spencer there from Spin, Jackie Conboy from the Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland, singer Mary Coughlin, arts journalist Louise Bruton, thanks a million for your time. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.